I'd like to present our next speaker. Dr. Hema Morales-Meyer is the Deputy Director of Planning and Programs for Community Health Services at the LA County Department of Public Health. She is responsible for coordinating planning and the continued development of public health nursing programs. Prior to this position, she was a nurse manager at Rancho Los Amigos National Rehabilitation Center, where she planned and implemented creative approaches to case management, patient assessment, as well as interventions and patient-centered care. Please welcome Dr. Morales-Meyer.
Good morning, everyone. Wanted to say no relationships to disclose. And this was a project that I actually did for my doctoral program. Tuberculosis, as we heard earlier, is caused by Mycobacterium tuberculosis. I'm probably preaching to the choir here, so I'll move quickly through some of these. And it's spread via droplet nuclei. Best way to stop transmission is to isolate the infectious persons and provide effective treatment. Now, the difference between latent tuberculosis infection and TB disease is that latent TB infection, you have the tubercular bacilli in the body, but it's inactive. A TST or a blood test will usually come out as negative. Will usually come out as positive with a negative chest X-ray. If you would take sputums on a person, they would definitely come out culture negative. They don't have symptoms, they're not infectious, they're not a case of TB, and that's the difference between TB infection and TB disease. So as we heard earlier, TB has definitely decreased over the years. It's a good thing, I think. We're doing our public health function to make sure that we're reducing the mortality and morbidity of this disease. But there's certain states within the country that are definitely more affected by TB, and you can see here California, Texas, Florida. What do they all have in common? Foreign-born. So definitely TB, we're seeing it with a higher percentage of foreign-born persons throughout the United States. In December 2012, and it was actually 2 months after I started this position, CDC, California reported the highest number of tuberculosis cases in the United States. 79% of those cases came from foreign-born populations, and 5.9% of those cases came from homeless cases in California. And you can see here from 2011 to 2012, we had from 124 cases to 219. So it was no surprise that in December 2012, CDC identified a TB homeless outbreak in Los Angeles County. This is our picture of what we call Skid Row, and I think Skid Row is pretty famous. I have actually found it on Wikipedia. So just a little background on Los Angeles County, 10 million residents, 88 cities, 4,000 square miles, 8 service planning areas. This is kind of how we try to get a sense of how to manage the workload. We have 26 health districts, 14 public health centers, and 165 public health nurses, and they're all generalists, so they work doing tuberculosis, STD contact investigations, and foodborne illnesses, among other things. Ebola as well, too. This is a more current map, but it shows a little bit of the neighborhoods in Los Angeles County and the high percentage of foreign-born. They're very diverse and highly multicultural within our county. Our homeless population is definitely one of the highest, and so we're second to New York City in homeless with 39,463 that were counted in 2013. And nationwide, we've seen some decline of homeless, but there's definitely been an increase in LA County. So our current practice in Los Angeles County was that we were doing only tuberculin skin tests for screening for TB. And I think there's still a large number of health departments that are still in this situation. So the tuberculin skin test was developed in 1907, and it's been the test of choice. So I wanted to show you what nurses look like in 1907. Oh, and I apologize. So there is new technology out there that's evidence-based and an alternative to TST called the NIGRA. So here are our nurses in 1907. we look a little different, right? Just a little change. But the advantages are that because we've done it since 1907, we've done it since then. We can do it with our eyes closed. Right? So it's an intradermal, so it's very low invasive. It's low cost. The disadvantage is that you have to return for your reading. It lacks some accuracy and interacts with the BCG vaccine and other mycobacteriums. So in 2001, a new blood test was developed to screen for TB, and it's called an IGRA, an interferon gamma release assay. It's a blood test that's specific to Mycobacterium tuberculosis, and there's two vendors, QuantiFERON, QFT Gold, and T-Spot. So this is what nurses look like in 2001. And they actually aired the first episode in 2001, so I thought it was appropriate. So the advantages are that there's no return visit necessary. It has higher accuracy, does not interact with BCG vaccine or other mycobacteria. It's lower cost in the long run, and I'll go through that in a little bit. And the disadvantages are higher cost for the test up front, venipuncture, and incubation or laboratory processing is necessary. So what the evidence showed was that when you talk about sensitivity, and that's a true positive ability to yield a positive result when somebody actually has that condition, was about the same with QFT, T-Spot, and TSC. It ranged from mid-70s to the 80s. Where we see a difference is in the specificity, and this is the true ability to yield a negative result when the person doesn't have that condition. And what we saw was that with QFT and T-spots, they were ranging from the high 80s, 90% in specificity, where the TST was a lot lower in 60-68%. And we had one study that showed at 88%, but that was, it varied depending on the population. So what this means is that you're actually using an IGRA, QFT, or a T-spot, you would have less false positives. So the CDC recommendations were that you use an IGRA in the following populations. Persons who have received the BCG, either as a vaccine or for cancer therapy, persons from group that historically have poor rates of return for TST reading, and considering we had a homeless TB outbreak at the time, we thought, you know, doing a blood test would be the most effective way to get them while we have them and get an actual result versus doing a TST. And then for those 5 years or older. So our goal in the department became to screen contacts, homeless, and foreign-born with an IGRA. So what we did was in February of 2013, we implemented a policy to begin using IGRA in our clinics. And we have 14 public health centers, a lot of our patients do go there. But what we realized was that we were missing a huge component of field testing. Our public health nurses are still out in the communities and do contact investigations in work settings, school settings, and so that a lot of times they're doing the screening out in those settings. So in February 2014, we decided to expand the policy outside of the clinics and to do it actually in the field using T-Spot. And I'll explain why we chose that one versus IGRA. So what we did was we implemented QFT in the clinics, and that went well. So we actually have our QFT in the clinics, and that's still maintained today. And part of the reason why we did that was because QFT is processed by our own public health laboratory, so the cost was very inexpensive for us to actually do that. Then we pilot tested QFT in the field at a homeless shelter where it was one of the areas of the TB homeless outbreak with over 200 participants going through. And it was a logistical nightmare. And I said, oh my goodness, if we're going to do this, and I don't want to get thrown tomatoes at every time I stand in front of my staff, we're going to have to look at different alternatives. And that's actually when we looked at T-Spot as the alternative test. It's still an IGRA, but there's only one blood drawing, one tube that you have to draw versus two that we were doing with QFT. And just the process of packaging, we were out in the shelters. What we do with QFT is we do the incubation. So we take the specimens back to the clinic, we do our own incubation, and then we send it out to the lab. With T-Spot, all we had to do was package it, send it off to the lab, and so the processing was much faster. And so being a lot of times the shelter only operated in the evenings. So we were there from 4 p.m. to 9 p.m. at night. And so having to go back to our health centers and do all of that was just, it was a logistical nightmare for us, and we decided For the field, we're going to use T-spot only. So what we did was we evaluated it. We implemented this and we wanted to see, was this really effective? Was it cost effective? Is our staff actually using it? And so what we looked at was the screening completion rates. And what we looked at was negative TST or IGRA, and then a positive TST or IGRA and negative chest X-ray. But that's what how we define screening completion rates. So I looked at January through June for 2013 and looked at January through June for 2014 just to compare the same time periods. And everybody goes, why did you only do 6 months? And I was like, because I wanted to graduate in May. So I wanted to make sure I had good data that I could evaluate. So that was the only reason why. And so you see the first year in 2013, we had over 3,000 contacts. Well, that's the first year of the outbreak. And so we really went out there and did a lot. The interesting part to see is that 97% completion rate compared to 96% isn't that much of a difference. And I think what it tells here is that our staff do an amazing job, regardless if it's a TST or an IGRA, to find people and make sure that we complete their testing. What made a difference was the positivity rate. And you see we went from 19.6% to 13.1%. This is because you're seeing less false positives. And I'll show you. And if you see the first graph here, that was 2012 when we were doing no IGRAs. Our LTBI rate was 21.7. So did a chi-square analysis. There's a definite difference between the drop in the 19.6% to 13.1%. Our cost analysis, I took the test of IGRA and TST and used the PHN time of what it took to do it out in the field. And you can see the difference here, 5978 to 2684. And I apologize because this one actually got cut off. So what we did include in the LTBI treatment cost for 9 months or a 9 month course was the X-ray total, prescription total, lab total, and then clinic time. And I'll show you what the results were. For a TST, it was, so then we looked at the test and the 9 month LTBI treatment time. So for a TST, it would total $297.72. For an IGRA, it was $330.76. Not that big a difference, right? What made the difference is our positivity rate. And so with the TST, it was 21.7. In doing just an estimated calculation, we would have annually about 217 LTBI positive patients. Compared to 13.1, we would have 131 LTBI positive patients that we would need to treat. So what you see here is that with using a TST versus an IGRA, we would estimate a cost savings of about $21,000, $208. Like I said, the benefits are in the long run. You're going to see less patients. They have less chest X-rays, less exposure to radiation. You have less clinic time, which could be a double-edged sword sometimes, right? But it makes a difference. Now, did we use it? That was my question. In February, we instituted our policy. We did an IGRA training where we actually, one of the biggest barriers that we first heard was, I'm a public health nurse. I haven't drawn blood in like 10 years. I've been in this position. You know, our nurses are definitely out in the field doing a lot of contact investigations, but a lot of them haven't worked in a hospital or a clinical setting for quite some time. So our IGRA training in March actually went over the process of drawing blood and how to package the materials and make sure that they felt comfortable with it. And then we did sort of a reinforcer educational training in May just to make sure everybody was using it, why we were using it. We showed them some of the evidence and what the literature reviews show and said, you know, this is an evidence-based practice and this is how we're all moving. So overall, we did really well, right? And I said to my chair, I'm done, right? We're great. And she said, no. And she would have loved to have been here, but she couldn't. What we did was looked a little bit deeper by groups, and so did an analysis. And what we saw was that there were some innovators that adopted it and accepted the practice right away, and they did great, but there were others that really didn't do that well. And this was over a year's time. So one site did 21 IGRA tests in the field over 12 months. And I said, I can't believe that you only had 21 contacts out there for the whole year. So definitely what we did was looked a little bit deeper and thought, okay, what is going on here? And we looked at just those five sites that had less than 100 tabs. What it really was the lack of adoption and the lack of wanting to change at that point. So what ended up happening was I was in school, and in September I started plotting my data away, and I said, oh my goodness, there's five sites here that haven't done anything. And I went back to the nurse managers and the supervisor nurses, and I said, okay, we put this policy in place in February, what's going on? How can we help you? What do you need? We went out and did presentations with them, and we also provided more training if they felt like they needed it. And so you could see a couple of them picked up October, November, December, but there was one site that still had nothing. And I talked to the supervisor of that site, and I said, you guys, I couldn't believe it. I said, no, there must be a data error somewhere. I was like, I called the lab. I was like, are you sure you're not putting them together with another one? So I called the supervisor, and I said, are you guys doing IGRAs in the field? And she said, no. And I said, why not? And she's like, we just don't do that here. Okay. Luckily, I could say that this was 2014, 2015. All of the sites are now using IGRA, and everybody sees the reason as to why we need to. So, benefits of IGRA again, less false positives, reduced unnecessary exposure to patient chest x-rays, LTI treatment with INH, more accurate results for sure. Lessons learned, change is not easy for any of us, right? A policy doesn't mean nurses will change their practice. Training doesn't mean it's going to change their practice. And looking at the overall doesn't always give you a good picture. You really got to drill down a little bit. Cost analysis are important. I don't think we do enough of it in our nursing practice to really evaluate the cost of what we're doing. And ultimately, the outcomes of the patient should drive change. My personal story, I was foreign-born, had a test, a TST positive, chest x-ray negative. I took 12 months of INH, and I was 10 years old. And when I got my first IGRA done, it was negative. And I went to my mom and I said, Mom, look! 12 months of having to take a pill every day. And I, trust me, I put them under the bed, threw them in the toilet. It was just, and chest x-rays I've had over the year, right? So it would benefit, especially our foreign-born populations, to really be tested with this. So screening for TB with an IGRA, that's my message. Thank you.
Thank you very much for presenting your research evaluating LTBI screening in the field. I believe we have some time for questions if anybody has any questions for any of the presenters.
It's a good question. It's not something we engaged in for this project or plan to. I'll tell you why. It's important, but this document is not like the standards of care work where we were deciding who would get what kind of care. This really was how hospitals will deliver the care that the public expects them to deliver. You're not, but your question leads me to an important follow-up point, which is that work is critical. I think if we continued with this work, we would probably have community forums or do something to allow people to come in. I don't think there's a lot of appetite by health systems to continue thinking about this, if I'm being honest with you. I mean, I think they would have pushed, and it's not my role. It's a nice part about being in academia now. I don't have to do the pushing. But I don't know where this is headed, and you raise a great point, Lynn. I don't know is the answer to that. But yes, I think ideally more sessions, more voices, more discussion. But it's a little different than the crisis standards of care, because we're not talking about who does or does not get something. Thank you. That's really, really good point.
So, thank you for the presentation. I think one of the major limitations. Oh, I'm Kim Chien from the So, one of the major limitations of EGRA and the reason that we don't use it actually on a larger scale is that it's not really field tested for repeat attacks. So, PSC is when you have negative. We know that likely reactivation, we don't have such knowledge of EGRA. The other thing is that the effect of ECG and, you know, and some of us are born, we had ECG as children, usually goes away for TSP after years. So that's an issue. For the research that you did, again, I do clinical work up north in the Bay, and one of the limitations we have. Otherwise, you know, of course, you know, you send a blood result and it's going to come negative. So I was, again, you know, I don't know the process that you went through, but I would look to that as a potential health service to false negative.
Definitely, and we do track, we have some of our CDC that has a couple of different practices that help us track sort of every aspect of what we do. We get tuberculosis, so it's great to have it because we can really have sort of a non-biased opinion on what we're doing. And so they track our cost factors, we track our LCDI rate and everything else. And so we do research. It's been challenging to say the least. We do have LA County's about 50% of Latinos have a high foreign-born population. And so we did feel ever the homeless outbreak, we felt like people were looking at us to go with, especially within our population. And a lot we don't have as well. We're hoping some of our work helps to create some studies around how we're using the new cheap cost as well as doing so. We're hoping we're going to make some
studies. Actually, I have a lot of questions for everyone. like for the outbreak of the tuberculosis that you presented. I would like to know the after crisis, like how did you change your procedure for managing your cases, the vulnerable population, the public health nurses that work, how would you see things now?
And that's part of the findings we weren't able to present on today, but yeah, I mean, there's certainly been some changes. There's been a lot of lessons learned, I think. You know, we don't work within the health department, so we were kind of studying from the outside. But one of the findings, one of the things that came out is that many of the nurses are left wondering, what if it happens again? And do I feel any more prepared now than what I was before? And all of, you know, many of them talked about, I've learned a lot and I've really become very educated on TB, but there's still some angst about what if it happens again. And they talk about that they know there may be a second wave, which is not uncommon, of course, in outbreaks. And so, you know, there's still some angst around that, and probably some training still to be done.
Keep going.
Actually, for the about syphilis, the program that you presented, I would like to know the challenges regarding
good question. And you're right. The challenges because of time involved and regular duties and all. What we did, we took, because there are monthly meetings that the clinicians have dedicated for training purposes, and we took advantage of that time, which is basically a whole afternoon period of time. And, you know, the other challenge was getting the DIS staff who collaborated with them to be able to leave the clinic sites at the same time. And, closing our clinic, and particularly during the outbreak time, it's a challenge. But making sure we are staffed enough to get those two teams together to be able to do the collaboration and the training. So we utilized clinical time that was already available and then had staff, not the entire DIS staff, but most of the staff there, like supervisory staff and key DIS staff there. And they were able to train those staff that were left behind and had clinic coverage. So that was challenging, but we were able to do it.
Yes, please continue.
As regarding the escalations that you're asking of policy, I was wondering if there was something related to confidentiality issues about patients. Were there something, these are obligations that we have to have in our hospital, and with some issues that in the first case that came out in the U.S., it's a very important issue. I don't know if you've addressed this in your policy.
We didn't specifically. You're right, it's an issue. We assume baseline confidentiality. Obviously, when Thomas Duncan came, it was actually the Liberian that was the first to really raise. Yeah, they were really upset. There were a lot of political issues in Liberia. But no, we didn't specifically mention it. If you'll recall, there was a provider who, I forget his name, which he's probably glad about, who was very angry about being identified. So you're right, it is an issue. We didn't specifically.
Does anybody else have questions? No? Okay. One more question and then we'll end the session. Sure.
For the partnership in Liberia, it's very interesting what you've done, but I'm wondering about the after crisis. Like, is there something that's gone on after to keep, like, consolidated what has been done?
As far as I know, yes, the school nursing has continued a relationship. A lot of it is through Dorcas, the person who was born and raised there and so on. She's very familiar with and has relationships within the medical ministry. And so, yes, there are continuing. I can't give you specific examples, but there are definitely a continuing relationship.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you, everyone, for attending this session on outbreak.